As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Hawkeye Resilience Advisors, a full-service security, risk, and crisis management company helping local organizations be prepared before, during, and after crisis strike. Hawkeye Resilience helps people make plans before something goes wrong. Business resilience promotes community resilience. For more information, visit HawkeyeResilience.com or call 518-573-9183.
WaveFarms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous support of Scout in Ithaca, New York. WGXE monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE News Update. On March 12th, Catskill Superintendent of Schools Dan Wilson released a statement to parents and community delaying the school play. Instead of this weekend, the Cinderella musical will be performed on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. The play is being delayed because choral director Michelle Soros Ryan and Catskill High School principal Junat Saar were both suspended by the school superintendent following a complaint about the music teacher jokingly handing scotch tape to a student during a rehearsal when several cast members would not stop talking. The student said, as a joke, she placed a piece of tape over her mouth and continued talking. The principal was suspended for not taking action, but was reinstated March 12th. Shaw, though, is the teacher organizing the play, and since she has not been reinstated, the production was not able to meet its intended date. There have been protests from students and community members almost daily since the two were suspended almost 2 weeks ago. Wilson has refused to speak about the issue, and in his announcement of the play's delay only wrote, and I quote, "We have made the decision with careful consideration to ensure that the production meets the highest standards and that all involved have the best possible experience," end quote. Mid-Hudson News reports that a juvenile who lives in Massachusetts has been charged by police after sending threatening text messages to a 17-year-old girl and her friends in the city of Hudson. The suspect sent messages threatening to, and I quote, "stab all of your friends," end quote, and I quote, "I'll jump you in school," end quote, and sent images of a knife and a black long rifle. Hudson Police and eventually Massachusetts State Police led to a warrant search at a residence in Massachusetts where police recovered the rifle and knife. Hudson Police Chief Meshonda Franklin said, and I quote, "This incident is a stark reminder of the importance of swift and collaborative action in ensuring the safety of our community," end quote. Read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Kevin Frey reports at New York State of Politics that last week Congress passed and President Joe Biden signed a budget bill that largely maintains Amtrak's operational funding after Republicans had threatened to slash $1 billion from Amtrak's budget. Rail Passengers Association President Jim Matthews said, and I quote, "Overall, this is not a bad outcome considering where we started. If you compare this to the bill that was circulating last summer and into the fall, which would have been just disastrous on all counts, and it was effectively a kill Amtrak bill, this is much, much better," end quote. Matthews gives credit in part to New York's freshman Republicans who publicly asked for Amtrak to remain in place. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, March 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Red Hook to 43 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature got a boost from all that sunlight. It is currently at 41 degrees. Pollen levels are starting to creep up. Currently low, but that could start to change very soon. Juniper and maple are on deck to be the main aggressors. Today will be great for getting outside again. High of 65 at 4 p.m. After dark, rain shows up. Less than half an inch is expected all night. We get a low of 45 degrees. Tomorrow, the rain keeps going and we see a high of 61. The rain lessens, but does continue overnight, stopping Saturday morning. It will be generally a cold day, however, with some light winds and a high of 55. 40 degrees overnight ushers in some more rain, which continues all Sunday. We get a high of 52. Sunset today will be at 6:47 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see we're still waiting for that wayward Hadouken to make some noise. If projections are off, that CME could hit us directly and suddenly spike aurora chances, so keep an eye out. Plasma winds will be average at 457 kilometers per second with an average density of 5 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then maybe okay below 8 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 86. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Next up, we have 2023 new music from local band Jaded Azurides. That's Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bassist Mike Watt. Here is the song Songed from their 2023 release, Number 6.
In the blue motel of sleep, on the purple beat, A hand touches the piano key. I dip beneath layers, deep layers of voices. Emerge into a hallway, closed doors of bedrooms, brass knobs with mechanisms designed to stop me. Rooms with mothers and fathers, sofas, rugs, mantelpieces. The complete Yale Shakespeare. Surprising heaviness of small blue bugs. I whisper to the bugs. It is fortunate that I touched him in the blue motel of sleep.
Here's Hudson Valley band Mercury Rev with The Dark is Rising.
Walking, and the two of us were talking. mystery. The words that flow between friends, winding streams without end. I wanted you to see, but it can't seem surprising.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
Former President Donald Trump's call to Georgia's Secretary of State, pressuring him to find votes in 2020, helped lay the groundwork for a sprawling election interference case. Yesterday, the judge dismissed some of the charges against him, including whether he asked officials to violate their oaths of office. The charges could be narrowed and filed again, and Trump still faces 10 other counts there. House Republicans have reopened an investigation of the January 6th Capitol riot, questioning law enforcement's failure to detect pipe bombs left outside National Party offices. But Democratic Representative Norma Torres of California says public hearings could undermine the FBI's ongoing investigation.
This isn't an episode of CSI or Law and Order. We don't get to write our own ending according to what may or may not be convenient for our politics.
The House has passed a bill banning the popular video app TikTok if its Chinese owners don't sell their stake, which some call a national security threat. The bill now goes to the Senate, where its prospects are unclear. Newly installed RNC co-chair Lara Trump says the party is seeking volunteer poll watchers for its new election integrity division. Ballot fraud is extremely rare, but Trump insists protecting the vote is their top priority.
To anyone out there who is thinking about cheating in an election, we will go after you. You will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It is not worth it.
The former president has made repeated unproven charges about ballot collection programs, but his daughter-in-law says the RNC has now launched what she calls a legal ballot harvesting operation run by an election denier and former Trump attorney. With a new liberal majority, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will reconsider a previous decision banning ballot drop boxes. The court could overturn a 2022 ruling that only the voters themselves can use them, and only at county election offices. Democratic Governor Maura Healey plans to pardon tens of thousands convicted of marijuana possession, which disproportionately impacts people of color. Healey says Massachusetts will be the first state, but she encourages others to do the same.
In fact, we believe that this is the most sweeping cannabis pardon ever proposed by any governor in the United States.
4 years after Louisville police shot and killed Breonna Taylor, new federal legislation aims to ban no-knock warrants. Taylor, an unarmed black woman, died when seven plainclothes officers broke into her apartment unannounced. Her mother, Tamika Palmer, calls the bill the right way to commemorate her daughter's murder.
I'm so grateful to have people in the room who continue to understand how important that what happened to Breonna never happens again.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A North Carolina appeals court struck down the state legislature's new law removing the governor's appointment power for election boards. And a decision in a South Carolina gerrymandering case from the U.S. Supreme Court may be released shortly. Last year, we reported on HB 749, removing the North Carolina governor's power to appoint state and county election boards and giving that authority to the legislature. The new law created a state election board with equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, so likely deadlocks would mean few decisions and no accountability. Governor Roy Cooper vetoed the bill but was overridden. Democracy Docket reports that a three-judge appeals panel found HB 749, quote, infringes upon the governor's constitutional duties and was a stark and blatant removal of appointment power from the governor. We're also awaiting a U.S. Supreme Court decision in a South Carolina racial gerrymandering case. The state legislature claims that when it moved two-thirds of black voters from Congressional District 1 into District 6, it did so for partisan, not racial, reasons. Partisan gerrymandering was deemed by the court in 2019 to be a state issue, while racial gerrymandering is still subject to federal Voting Rights Act requirements. Siding with the legislature would likely mean a nationwide flood of racial gerrymandering by anti-voter legislatures saying it was for partisan reasons. We have details at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Here is Hudson Valley-based cellist Fred Lonberg-Holm performing with Abdul Momimi and Carlos Santos on the song Ring from their 2021 album Transition Zone.
Thank you. We're joined by Canyon Ryan, who is Executive Director of United Tenants. And on the 11th and 12th of March, the State Assembly and the State Senate passed their so-called One House budget resolution, setting up the last two-week sprint to the April 1st so-called deadline to pass the state budget. But affordable housing remains one of the big bones of contention between the governor and the legislature. And in particular, a lot of people concerned about what's going on the issue of good cause eviction, something that the city of Albany had passed, but the courts had kind of struck down, saying that really need the state legislature to authorize it. So Canyon, where are we now with the good cause eviction issue?
Thank you for having me on, Mark. So where we're at with good cause right now, like you said, the Assembly and Senate just released their their One House budget resolutions. The Senate explicitly says something along the lines of, we want to pass good cause eviction, which is exciting. And then the Assembly says something along the lines of, we want to combat arbitrary and capricious evictions, which is a step up from last year where they used the same language but said pathways to protections to address. Now it's saying we want to address. So the Assembly and Senate have really alluded to good cause pretty explicitly, one absolutely explicitly, the other not so much, but, you know, same idea. And now it goes to the quote unquote three men in the room, which is actually two women and one guy in the room, where the President pro temp of the Senate, Speaker of the Assembly, and the governor will start hashing out the details. The governor has not really signaled any support for good cause eviction. We were in a similar position last year. I think where we're at now, though, it's been demonstrated that good cause needs to pass if anything else is going to relate it to housing.
And affordable housing remains one of the big, you know, bones of contention between the governor and the legislature. And certainly I read in quotes, particularly from the Senate Majority Leader, that if we're going to do affordable housing, it does also require some level of tenant protections as part of the package. So are you optimistic at this point?
I am optimistic. I mean, last year I was really optimistic. And in some ways, you know, I think that the crisis has really accelerated to the point of almost like nihilism, right? In Albany, especially with the Bleecker Terrace Tenants Association, which organized under good cause eviction. that complex has been almost emptied, right? Almost a third of those tenants have lost their housing due to no cause holdover evictions where the tenants did nothing and the landlord said, I want you out anyways. Another, you know, sizable proportion of tenants have just been priced out. They couldn't stay there anymore and they had to find anywhere else to go. One case was a 32-year tenant who had never been behind on his rent. It's egregious what's happened. And so in some ways, I think it's a little late even, but better late than never, because this doesn't have to happen. And the legislature has let it happen. So it's been pretty miserable. And I think this year is the year. Last year was really the year, and, you know, 2019. But at least now it should be very clear that this is a necessity, especially if we're talking about building our way out of the crisis. Tenants need protections. It's not as simple as just building more housing. The governor has alluded to needing to separate the two, tenant protections and development. I think that the Assembly and Senate are dead on the mark here, that you have to do them together for it to be successful.
Now, the city of Albany had passed good cause eviction laws, but the courts, at least the Supreme Court and the mid-level appellate division, had knocked it down. Has the Court of Appeals, ruled on this yet, which is the state's highest court, and how does that factor into the negotiations?
Yeah, so in December of 2023, the Court of Appeals actually decided that they would take up the case, which is unique because this means that the Supreme Court and the appellate division have both sided with the landlords, and now the Court of Appeals is saying, I want to hear this. So it's like a 1% chance of that happening. The problem is, as exciting as that is, it's not going to be until late summer, early fall at earliest. So United Tenants will be submitting an amicus brief with a bunch of tenant unions. A couple other organizations are going to be submitting amicus briefs in support of the city of Albany's position, which is that good cause can be passed at the municipal level. But we're not going to hear it anytime soon. So the only way it really factors in is if good cause doesn't pass this year, which really should not be an option. But it is going to be heard, and that's exciting, because it means more rights for cities in New York State, which could be really exciting in terms of tenant protections.
And have other communities in the state weighed in to, you know, say, hey, you know, we believe we need a good cause eviction laws to help protect our tenants from, you know, both rate hikes, but also getting, kicked out because the landlord, you know, wants to go in a different direction or something.
Yeah, I believe that's actually an idea here, too, with the amicus briefs, is that we're kind of compartmentalizing those who are going to be filing. So United Tenants will be filing with a bunch of tenant unions. There's going to be some like community advocacy groups. And then I think some of the cities that pass good cause are going to try and file a joint amicus brief as well. So that would, I'm not speaking on anybody's behalf. This could, you know, not necessarily come through, but that would be Newburgh, Beacon, Poughkeepsie, all the other cities that pass good cause, and maybe even more prospective cities like Rochester, which was considering it, and Syracuse and Ithaca.
Now, the last time we spoke, I believe that the, you know, sort of capital district delegation to the state assembly and Senate were kind of mixed on good cause eviction. Has that changed, or all the local state legislators supporting good cause eviction?
So Breslin's on. That's great. Of course, he's retiring soon. Phil Steck is in support of good cause, though not necessarily a big advocate of it. He is signed on, though. And recently, Bleecker Terrace Tenants Associations and United Tenants of Albany met with Assemblywoman Pat Fahey, who has signaled support for opt-in in an email to us. So that's hopeful. It seems like she's finally coming around on good cause. It could be because of the prospects of a Senate seat and Neil Breslin being quite a progressive senator. And our feeling is if Fahey goes with good cause, then John McDonald will likely go with good cause. We don't necessarily have a base in Troy that's advocating, but I do know that Troy DSA has been working John McDonald specifically on good cause eviction and right to counsel.
Now, also recently, the Albany County Legislature considered a measure to ensure that, I guess, tenants who are facing landlord-tenant issues in court were provided legal representation. How did that end up being dealt with by the legislature?
Yeah, so in 2022, the Albany County Legislature allocated $160,000 to complement $100,000 from the city of Albany specifically to address representation disparities in eviction proceedings. in Albany County. Tenant representation is often, or really statistically, is below 2.5%, whereas landlord representation is between 88 to 94% in eviction proceedings. Vast disparity. Albany County set the money aside. 16 months later, they put it up to a vote on March 11th, and unfortunately, the vote was not successful after an RFP where United Tenants and Legal Aid were highly ranked among many applicants to move the program forward. Albany County Conservative Democrats sided with the Republicans, so there's 14 no's on this vote. And the purpose, or rather the perspective that they offered, was that we need to make sure mom-and-pop landlords have representation when they're evicting tenants before we make sure that tenants have representation in eviction proceedings. It's egregious, disappointing, and we really need to build power because this is unacceptable.
So we have about a minute left. Supposedly the state budget is supposed to be adopted by April 1st. What are some of the things that groups are going to be doing between now and April 1st to try to get the good cause eviction included in the final deal?
Yeah, so on March 13th, Right to Counsel and Housing Courts Must Change is having a big lobby day at the Capitol to support exactly what EPIC meant to address, the fact that tenants rarely have representation in eviction proceedings. On March 19th, the Housing Justice for All Coalition is going to be having a huge lobby day. Well, it's not a lobby day, actually. It's like a strike day. We're going to go to the Capitol and do a bunch of theatrics and strikes and kind of picket line stuff. That's going to be about 2,000 tenants. On the 23rd, there's going to be another kind of push related to Good Cause Eviction, Housing Access Voucher Program, and TOPA, Tenant Opportunity to Purchase Act. And then on the 28th, there's also going to be a advocacy day around no rollbacks on the Housing Tenant Stability Protection Act, which is a very big deal, especially in New York City, where they're trying to reform rent-controlled apartment regulations, which could be relevant to Albany very soon.
Thank you very much. Kenyon Ryan, Executive Director, United Tenants of Albany. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
And rosy cheeks, and before this birdie leaves the nest, he'll learn to play the violin. Now his baby shoes are obsolete, he's growing like an ivy weed, and every day he hears his father say he'll play the violin. His mother and I won't interfere, we'll give him room, we'll let him steer, but we won't be happy till we hear him learn to play the fiddle.
Hey boy, Jim boy, who you letting run your life? Jim boy, is it what you wanna do? Hey boy, Jim boy, ain't you proud to be a man? Boy, Jim boy,
leave me alone. Hey, hey,
learn to play the violin.
So he went to university until he got a law degree, and he kept a vow from years before, I'll never play the violin. He met a girl with rosy cheeks, she laughed when he would tell a joke, when she left him for another man, a man who played the violin. Thank you.
party sells his clothes and books aboard a leaky ship to find some peace in a foreign land and learn to play the violin. Before you know it, the ship goes down and fish are swimming in his mouth, and he promises the next go round to learn to play the violin. Play the violin.
Here's a song from 2014 from Beacon bass performer Will Stratton. It's from his album Grey Lodge Wisdom, and the song is called Long Live the Hudson Valley.
I've seen a bit of Amsterdam and a bit of Prague. I've seen a bit of London twice in between the fog. I've seen the Nantes Cathedral and the Barcelona Beach, Dublin and Vienna and a dozen more of each. But long live the Hudson River Valley. Spent a year in exile in the forest of the deep. The clouds of mouth thick overhead, the spirits that they keep. The wonderment of opening your eyes in your place. The resignation falling with the scales on your face. Oh, long live the Hudson River Valley. Stopped in California near the place where I was born. I've shed the last remains of my self-pity and self-scorn. I've come across the embers that are left of my old ways. Oh, I'll come up to Valencia and I'll set them all ablaze. Oh, long live the Hudson River Valley. New York City like a fluke inside its host, and still I must return to always hold its heartbeat close, until I can retire far upstate where I can hear the silence that my own heart has now come to cherish dear. Oh, long live the Hudson River Valley.
Bad luck when standing in one spot.
prison truly sucks. But that's just our bad luck. When honesty is shot, we cannot cause the death. Tomorrow's all we've got. Tomorrow's all.
That was Catskills' Amy Rigby with Tomorrow's All We Got from a 2019 album called A One-Way Ticket to My Life.
From his 2023 album Wronger, here is Hudson's Tommy Stinson with Here We Go Again.
One, two, three, four. Jumping off this roller coaster, let's find out where the exits are before we get any closer. Here we go again. Throw out your rusty pen to your old gun holster. You've been riding long enough, you could have had a real poster. But get yourself a new cool gun, I mean it might stick a little longer. Stupid song, forget about buffoonery, copyrights in perpetuity.
Catskill, here's Rodney Allen Greenblatt, and from his 2021 album, To Just Be, this is Makeshift Fruit Stand. Thank you.
Thank you.